we're going to be talking about unreached peoples. My name is Hannah. I work in the Raiders ministry, which is the 7th and 8th grade girls here. And our focus this year really is on missions, is unreached people. We're trying to get the girls to start seeing outside of themselves, and we're trying to work that into the ministry as much as we can. So first what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass out. I'm kind of hooked to the wall, but I'm going to kind of pass this out, and I want everyone to grab. Let me count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm just making sure. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Okay, yeah, that should work. Everybody grab something out of there and just pass it out. It's just a little piece of paper. And they're all colored differently to represent different things. So while that's getting passed out. Yes. So like I said, I'm Hannah. I work for the Raiders ministry. Unreached people groups is something I had no concept of until college. I had heard about missions, kind of knew about it, but the idea that there are people who are born, will live their whole life, will never hear the name of Jesus, and then they'll die is something that blew my mind in college. And so ever since then, that's kind of been something that I've just like researched in my own time and felt really passionate about. I'm really excited to talk to you guys about this, but it's also a very like weighty and heavy subject, so I really hope that will honor the subject. So each of these papers is a different color. And so after we pass them out, I'm going to have the greens go ahead and stand up. So y'all can go ahead and be standing. So whatever paper you grab, and hopefully I counted right and there's enough. If there's not, hey, that's okay. We'll roll with it. Yeah, perfect. Thank y'all. Is there one more? Awesome. So if you're green, go ahead and stand up. You guys can share if you want. Oh, perfect. If you're green, go ahead and stand up. Okay, awesome. So our greens represent, statistically, if we were to take the world and we were to look at gospel literacy and we were to say, okay, these are the countries, if we were all representing like every country, but tapering it down to 16 people, these would be the countries that are reached. These are the countries where we have our fair pick of churches. We have our complete access to the gospel. We can go online. We can find anything that we want. We can get great theological education at our picks of schools. And we can talk. We have so many people around us who are believers. And we just have so much information about the gospel at our fingertips. So y'all represent the reach nation. So y'all can go ahead and sit down. Let me get my little orange, my yellowish piece of paper. Y'all stand up. Yes. So these, you guys represent misreached places in the world. In these places, the gospel probably has gone there, but it's been distorted. So this is a lot of like prosperity gospel places, places where people hear the name of Jesus, but they don't hear the gospel that saves. So they have a tiny sense of hope, but not the full hope that's going to save them. So y'all sit down. Y'all are the misreached countries. And then unreached, y'all stand up. Yeah, you are the red. Sorry, the red. Y'all stand up. You are the unreached. You represent statistically in the world. You represent people of a certain culture or language or country or class who represents less than 2% Christian. They'll probably be born, live, and die without hearing the gospel unless an external witness comes to them, unless someone intentionally decides, I'm going to come to this place. These are the places that are the hardest to reach. And oftentimes these are the places where becoming a Christian means you'll lose your life, lose your family, be kicked out of the community that you live in. And so y'all go ahead and sit down. And so I just wanted us to do that because I wanted us to see past the numbers and to hopefully see sometimes these are just a lot of statistics, but there's people behind these statistics. And so I just wanted y'all to see that in this room, what that would look like. So there are roughly 7.75 billion people in the world, and roughly 3.2 billion of these people are unreached. That's 3.2 billion people who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've never heard that we are sinners, completely enslaved to sin, with no ability to save ourselves. We're destined for hell. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, while we were still sinners, sent his son to die for us. So 3.2 billion people in the world have no access to this good news. They don't hear that there is one way to the Lord. Jesus is the one way, he says, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. So if these people never hear about him, they will go to hell having never heard the gospel. And as Christians, this should stir something in our hearts, right? We should care for these people. God has created them. Excuse me. I think I would cry a little bit. God has created them in his image, and he loves them, and so should we. So God is good, though. And so, yes, he is God. So he could write the gospel on the sky right before them and make them reached. But he has not chosen to do that. And in his goodness, he's chosen to use us, right? And that's out of his sovereign kindness and goodness. He's chosen to use people like you and I. So if you'll flip in your Bibles, if you have your Bible, or if you have your phone Bible, I don't discriminate, you can flip to Romans 10:14. Unless you're in middle school, then I do discriminate, because then I know you're not really going to probably be using your phone for your Bible. But flip with me to Romans 10:14, and we're just going to look at Romans 10:14 and 15. And we're going to look at Paul's logical argument as to why we need to go to these people. Because like we said, God is God. He has the ability to write the gospel in the sky. He has the ability to drop leaflets from heaven with gospel tracts on them. But whatever you could think of, but he doesn't choose to do that. He chooses to use us. So Romans 10:14 and 15, excuse me, I should grab my Bible. I thought I had it written. I knew this would happen to me. Okay. All right. So it says, let me flip. Excuse me. I forgot to do that. Okay. So he says in Romans 10:14, he says, how then will they call on him, that is Jesus, in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So we have a very logical argument. These people cannot call on Jesus if they don't believe in him. They can't believe in him if they've never heard of him. And we're talking the true Jesus of the Bible, not Jesus of the prosperity gospel, not in so many like Muslim people groups, they hear of Jesus and they're like, oh yeah, he's just another prophet, but he's not, he is Lord. And so unless they hear the Jesus of the Bible, that's the Jesus that they need to believe in. And how can they believe in him if they've never heard of him? And how are they to hear unless someone preaches to them? And how is anyone going to preach to them unless someone goes to them, unless someone is sent? And so then he calls the people who go. He says they have beautiful feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. So God in his kindness chooses us. That's the way he's chosen to take the gospel to these people. We all know the Great Commission that says, and Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. God is with us, but he does call us to go. But we are here. Right now we're here in Birmingham. So what can we do from little old Birmingham, right? So I'm really excited to talk about this part because there are a lot of things we can do to go ahead and get involved right where we are. The first thing, we can get informed. Now, this is where we hope that the church's internet is just on it today, because I really want to show you guys this website, and it's interactive. And so, okay, awesome. So this is it. It's called Stratus. So it's stratus.earth, and if you just search stratus.earth, it'll take you here. So this is a ministry of Radical, which is David Platt's ministry, and they have something called the Stratus Index. So this is where they've taken, I'll show you, it says how Stratus works. They've taken these five major spiritual and physical needs, and they've turned them into like indicators. And so they have like these natural. So it says this is like geography, environment, and these are natural reasons why it would be hard to. Oh, is it not working? Oh, excuse me. Let me see. Let me drag it. Oh, thank you. Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. Y'all were probably so confused. Like, what is she talking about? Okay. I'm going to have to look at this. Okay. So these are our natural reasons as to why the gospel might not be able to get to a country. So it would be like, it's a very mountainous country. It's really hard for people to physically get there. Things like that. Then you have political reasons. This is the systemic forces of governance that perpetuate current developmental and social conditions. So this would be like places like North Korea would have a really high number. Then we have developmental reasons. So this is like employment opportunities, poverty, reasons like that, prosperity, education, and health. Reasons like this as to why the gospel would be hard to get to a place. We think about maybe in Afghanistan where the Taliban just took over and we see women aren't going to get access to the education that they were once able to have. Places like this. And then social reasons. This is demographics, harmony, well-being in a lot of places. This is a lot of like racism, things like that. And so what Stratus did is they took all of these four, like, indicators, and then they took spiritual as well. They put those five together, and then they do a Stratus Index. So if I launch it, I'll show you. Slowly wait. It's interactive, so I really want you guys to see it. But I took screenshots in case the church internet is not on it today, so we'll see. But it's going to pull up a globe, and basically they've numbered in, like, ranked. See, okay, yeah. So as you can see, you know how we went green to red here? They show you, and you can kind of move around the map, and you can see that, like, that number 24, that's, like, Stratus's index for them. So if you were to click on, let's go see, like, North Korea. That's a country we're pretty familiar with. So Stratus has labeled them as number 21, and then we'll press the plus button. And we can see where the reasons that they believe this place would be a hard place for the gospel to go. And we can see that political is their, like, most read number. But then what's really interesting is you can click on the people groups, and they'll show you. So these, like, people groups, the size of these circles are relative to their population size in the country. So we have the Korean people, which take up the majority of the country. There's a deaf population. There's a small Russian population. And there's a Han Chinese population. And then they've clearly, like, this is how reached the color is. So let's go back here. Let's launch it again. And I'm going to show you another country. I'm going to show you India. And then the people groups in that nation will blow your mind. Let me get rid of this. So let's click on India, and let's see. I'll press the plus button. And this shows the reasons why it would be hard for the gospel to reach there. They ranked them 19. And the reason, like, you might be thinking, wouldn't it be way harder to bring the gospel to a place like North Korea? But partly the reason why India is way above, is ranked, like, harder than North Korea is because of this right here, which I'll show you as soon as it loads. This might take a minute because it is extensive. Yeah. So they've taken, like, as many, and this is just, like, research of people who spend their lives finding this information to help us be aware. But you can look, like, these, I'm pretty sure this is the Brahmin people. Yeah. And then, I mean, population after population. And these are all different people groups. So they might have completely different language. In each people group, if they might have a different language or a different cultural, like, uniqueness, that would make the gospel to be, like, that would make getting the gospel to them really difficult. I mean, most of these countries, well, a lot of them, do not have a Bible in their language. So this would mean finding a people group, learning their language, translating the Bible into their language, bringing the Word of God to them. Like, this is extensive work that is before us, but people have taken the time to make websites like these so we can get informed and we can learn about what's going on. throughout the world. So that's Stratus. And you can click on random countries and just become familiar with it. So I'm going to see. There we go. So we can get informed. That's our first thing we can do. We can learn about this through things like Stratus, through things like the Unreached of the Day. Oh, sorry. Okay. This is... I'm going to flip through this for a second. That was just in case it wasn't working. Okay. We can find information like the Unreached of the Day. So this is just a picture of Unreached of the Day is an app done by the Joshua Project, similar to Stratus. And they will pick a people group, and they'll put them on your app. And that day, you can just go, and before you even get out of bed in the morning, you can have prayed for an unreached people group. So there's so many different ways that we can get involved, and we can see what's out there. So that's another way to get informed. Next, we can pray for Christians in costly places. So this is the 2022 Open Doors World Watch List. So this identifies and ranks the 50 countries in the world where it's most costly to follow Christ. Places where people must travel by the cover of night to meet and worship with other believers. Places where people have to hide the word of God outside of their villages, like in a cave covered in rocks. Then someone has to risk their life as they go to grab it in the cover of nightfall and bring it to a small community of hidden believers to worship and study the Bible, all in hopes that the police wouldn't come and catch them and kill them. Places where becoming a Christian could easily mean losing your family or even your life. So what's interesting about... Someone's must be really funny. Sorry, mine is not as funny. What's interesting about this year's list is that Afghanistan is now the most dangerous place in the world to be a Christian, overtaking North Korea as number one on the world watch list for the first time in 20 years. This has all happened in this past year because of everything that's gone on politically. So the difference between this and what I just showed you, Stratus, because you might be like, wait, Stratus was like, had North Korea ranked differently. Stratus is specifically like barriers of getting the gospel to them. This is, if you're a Christian in this country, how persecuted you will be. So it's just different. But Open Doors has a great like email thing. They'll send you stories. They'll send you information. And you can just go online to like Open Doors and just plug in your email if you want to find it. And so that's the watch list. But what's interesting is a common misconception most Christians have in regard to persecution is that it's easy to assume that persecution discourages spiritual growth. But the more than 360 million Christians who suffer for their faith tell a different story. Where persecution rises, the church often experiences the most growth. Most people are choosing Jesus now more than ever before. And so we can be excited, even amidst the persecution, because God uses that to spread his word. He cannot be stopped. The gates of hell will not overtake God's church, and we can trust him. So another thing we can do, we can adopt the family missionary. I like this idea. I'm like, this is really cool. So you can talk to Brian Winterstein. I have probably Brian Winterstein on like a lot of this stuff. If he is our missions pastor, and he can get you like the information of maybe a Briarwood family who's gone out to be a missionary, and you can start praying for them. Bring your family in on it. Pray for them as a family, and kind of like adopt them and get your kids in on it, whatever your situation is, and pray for them. Like I'm thinking like the Wiersmas, who have three kids. They just went to the UAE. They are learning Arabic currently, and they're trying to bring the gospel to people in the United Arab Emirates. So we can get information about them. We can pray for them. We can sign up for their updates. We can support them financially, and you can have your families pray for them. Next is so we can share this all with our family, get your kids in on it. Get involved with our international ministry. We have so many opportunities because the unreached are also, in a sense, here. Especially a lot, there's a lot of Indian students at UAB who come here for 4 years and they're going to go back. We can have them in our homes. A lot of them need people to take them grocery shopping, and the international ministry does that all the time, and it's kind of fun. They'll take you to, like, the most random Indian grocery store that you did not know existed in Birmingham, and they'll show you all around it. So there's different ways that we can get involved in the ministry that Briarwood is doing here. And then lastly, being willing to go. So God calls us in his will and in his timing. So don't count that out for your life, no matter your age, no matter your stage. If he calls you to go, talk to the church, and we would love to help send you. Briarwood sends lots of missionaries, and it's never too late. Wouldn't it be awesome to spend, like, to maybe retire in a unreached nation and spend the rest of your life giving your life away for the gospel to people who have never heard. We often over-spiritualize missionaries. Praise the Lord that there's no like junior varsity or varsity Christianity. You're either dead in your sin or you're alive in Christ. And some people get confused. They think that someone like Christy, like maybe me, or like Pastor Reader is a missionary. But truly, missionaries are going cross-culturally. We might be evangelizing, and y'all are evangelizing, but we're not missionaries. When we call every Christian a missionary, we cheapen the meaning of what it means to be a missionary. God calls everyone to share the gospel, but God calls some to cross cultures, to break through the cultural barrier by becoming a part of the new culture, to learn a new language, to live amongst a different people group, all for the goal of bringing the gospel to the nations. Kevin DeYoung speaks a lot about this. He talks about how when we are not precise with our language, with things like the unreached, or even with missionaries, we cheapen the importance of the missionary's work, which in the end is God's work, and we shouldn't cheapen it. So while these people are typically fewer than those God will call to be senders, God is calling us all to the Great Commission, so now we must be obedient to his call. So here's a staggering statistic. So the same people who run Stratus's website that I told you about have done extensive research. So they found that if you take all, like, they looked across American churches, they found if you take all of the missionary dollars, the dollars that go to missions, so after people have tithed, you know, they gotta pay the bills, they gotta do all these things, gotta pay their staff, and then they put a certain amount to missions. They found that only 1% of the money that goes to missions, so it's already less than the tithe, of the money that goes to missions, only 1% goes to specifically unreached places. 99% of most missions money that's given right now in America goes to places that are already reached or misreached. And only 3% of those missionaries, people, will go to the unreached. So if you take all the money that is tithed and you look at that, it's really staggering and honestly surprising and shameful. So something needs to change in our American church. So we are now going to split up into groups. So I have four, if y'all want to get in like groups of like four-ish, I have four people groups that we're going to pray for. They're in the 1040 window, and the 1040 window is right here. So it's named because it's from 10 degrees south latitude to 40 degrees north latitude. It's an area that stretches from North Africa through the Middle East to Asia, covering 68 countries. Its name comes from its position, which I told you about, and 2/3 of the world's population lives within this window. 3/5 of the people in the 1040 window have no access to the gospel, are completely unreached. So this is 68.6% of the people living in this window. But don't be discouraged, because the current fastest growing church is in Iran, which is in the 1040 window. Like we said, God cannot be stopped, and the gospel will go to the ends of the earth, and God will be worshipped by every tribe, tongue, and nation. So now I'm going to pass out, if y'all wouldn't mind getting in little groups of four. I'm going to pass out information on four different people groups, and we're just going to take time, and we're going to pray for them, because that's the most important thing we can do right here from Birmingham. Lord, we thank you for all of these people that we get the chance to pray for. And God, we ask that you would bless them, God, that you would raise up workers in your harvest, Lord, to bring the gospel to the nations. God, I pray that you would have mercy on these people, that you would bring the gospel to them, Lord, that they would accept it, that they would spread it, Lord, that they would live their lives for you, God, that they would repent of their idol worship, God, and that they would come to the one true God, that is you. You're the only one who saves. Lord, we trust you with these people. Lord, they're your people. You love them more than we ever could. So we ask that you would just pour out the gospel on these people, and in these places, change hearts of your enemies, God, and cause them to be not your enemies, Lord, but your friends. And we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay. That was hearing you guys pray. This is for these unreached people. So like that information that I just gave you is from the Joshua Project. It's from Unreached of the Day, like I told you about. So it's an app that you can get on your phone. It's also a website. And it'll show you all that information. So you saw there was a prayer focus, a scripture focus, ministry obstacles that they know about. And it'll even show you if they have the Bible in their language, how much of the Bible they have in their language. You can find out a lot of this information from them. So now, story time. I'm going to tell you a story. So this is a picture of the Yembe, which is a tribe in Papua New Guinea. And a little over 10 years ago, there's a couple who decided they were going to take the gospel to this completely unreached tribe. They speak their own tribal language. The language did not have, there was no written form of it. And their goal was to bring the gospel to them. So they built their own home, and they went to Papua New Guinea. They learned like the Papua New Guinean language. And then after training and learning that language, they moved in with the Yembe. This is their home. Their language was some sort of pidgin, P-I-D-G-I-N language. So they began living with them. They began learning their language. After they learned their language, they took their language and turned it into a written form. And then they taught that written form of their language to the Yembe people. And they had like literacy classes. These people learned how to read and write in their own language. Then after that, they began the step of Bible translating, because they did not want to just share the gospel with these people. They wanted to bring them God's word. So then they began translating the Bible into this language that they made the written form of. They took so long, and they told these people, they were like, "We love you so much. We have the best message to give to you, but please give us time, because this is going to take a really long time." And they were telling them, "We're going to bring you God's word. We're going to bring you God's word." And so these people are just like anticipating this over and over and over. And they know how important this message is because of the dedication of these people who came, learned their language, wrote it down, are translating the Bible now. And then finally, after 9.5 years, they had the Bible in their language, and they shared the gospel with them, and the people accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And this is a picture of a man painting a guy's face because they had a celebration for when they got the word in their language. These are the Yembe people when they gathered around to celebrate. This is a man proudly holding up the Yembe Bible. And they called it God's talk. They're like, "God's talk is coming to us." And they're so excited. That's the end of it. And so this couple, who people said they were crazy. They're like, "How? What? You're gonna move?" The woman was like, I heard this story from them at a conference. The woman was like, "Yeah, I hated bugs. And God called me to live amongst to go to the jungle." And she's like, "People were saying we were crazy. They're like, what are you doing? These are your best years of your life. You're young. You're newly married." And they're like, "No, this is the best way to spend my life, right? To go and to give these people the word." And now these people will be worshiping the Lord with us one day in heaven. We can look forward to that. So let's end with a picture of what God would want us to have in our minds. We may be in this world, but this world is not our home. We're citizens of heaven. And this is another thing that causes missionaries to go. They have a deep understanding of this. No matter where they are on earth, they understand that they're never home, because home is heaven with the Lord. They will not be home until God calls them to heaven. So until then, they know they're aliens walking, even if they grew up in Birmingham, and they're in Birmingham. They know they're aliens walking if they go to the Middle East, wherever God calls them. So I want you guys to close your eyes, and I'm going to read a little bit of Revelation 7 to you. And I just want you to picture this in your mind. It says, starting in verse 9, it says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And that's it. So thank you all for coming. If you have any questions or you need me to show you some information on your phone, pull up the Unreached of the Day app that I talked about, please ask me. I would love to do that. So thank you. I should pray us out. I'm going to pray us out. Okay. God, thank you for your people. God, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for your promise that every tribe, tongue, and nation will worship you one day. God, we can trust you with this gospel work because it's your work and because you said that you will, that everyone will worship you, God. So we just ask that you would do that quickly, Lord Jesus, that you would come. God, we are looking forward to the day that we'll worship with every tribe, tongue, and nation. God, I pray that you will make us people who will take a part, who will take part in the Great Commission, who will take part in taking the gospel to unreached people all around the world. God, we ask that you would burden our lives particularly for them. God, that we would share this news for your glory. God, I just want to pray for any missionaries right now who are trying so hard to bring the gospel to your people, Lord, who don't even know what they're waiting for, God, who don't know the hope that they're waiting for, who don't know the hope that they don't have, God. And we ask that you would bless them right now, give them strength. We ask that you would, that as they're sent out, that they would be wise as serpents and innocent as doves amongst people who probably hate them, God. And we ask, Lord, that you would raise up Christians in these places, Lord, in the places where people are Christians and they're most persecuted. God, we ask that you would give them strength and that you would give them joy no matter what comes their way. God, that they would hold on to a hope, the hope that you've given them. God, that by your Holy Spirit, they would have the power to endure whatever comes. And Lord, we just ask that you would show us where we can hold our lives loosely. That we would give up where you want us to give up for your namesake and for the great commission of bringing the gospel to all nations, not just some. And God, we just ask your special gospel blessing on the 1040 window and just ask that people who are once your enemies would turn to you just as we were once your enemies, but we've turned to you. God, we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for coming. Yeah. The ones going. Yeah, so sometimes their eyes glaze over and it's just information going right over their heads. Each like middle school D group is going to have like a D group missionary that they're going to pray for starting this semester. In Sunday school, we pray for the unreached of the day before we start Sunday school. On the BYG and Raiders like Instagram, we do unreached of the day videos and just 1 minute, stop what you're doing if you see this and pray for us with, pray for the unreached with us. And then starting in early March, so like we do, different teachers come in Sunday school and stuff. Starting in early March, I'm taking the 7th and 8th grade girls, and we're going to do from, hopefully, Lord willing, studying like from Genesis. The theme is going to be like from Genesis to Revelation, God's heart for the nations. And so like we're going to try to see where God in the beginning, he's like, he blesses Abraham, and through his son will come the nations. And so we're going to see that from the beginning, God has ordained that there be nations that he loves and his people. And so we're going to try to like track that through scripture as best as we can. And just share, I'll share this information with them. But oftentimes it's really just numbers and statistics right now, but it was when I first heard it, but people kept telling me, so, yeah. Just pray that God will, I trust God with it, so whatever he does. But stories like this, I think, I don't know, this is just, I mean, this is not something we hear about all the time, but this is so important. These are God's people, so, yeah. Is there anything else that you're wondering or anything? Awesome. Thank you for coming.